Welcome to Focus on the Family's weekend broadcast. We hope the following program will challenge you and encourage you in your faith journey.
You're tired, you need to go to bed. It's past your bedtime. I don't want to go to bed. Well, you're tired, you need to go to bed. I don't want to go to bed. Okay, you have a choice. Do you want to put on your pajamas and brush your teeth and go to bed, or do you want to spank it? She put her finger in my face. No!
Oh, the joys of bedtime when you have little children. That is Ken Kington, and we've got some comic relief to share about the highs and the lows of doing life together as a family. Your host is Focus on the Family President Jim Daly, and I'm John Fuller.
Well, John, when times are hard, it's important to enjoy some laughter. I believe in that, and that's what we have in store with our guest Ken Kington today. Ken is a very popular comedian and motivational speaker, and he's got quite a knack for finding the humor in everyday moments with his wife and three kids. So I know you're going to enjoy his message.
Let's go ahead and get into it. Here's Ken Kington from his DVD called Wow Moments, and we're going to pick up after his opening remarks on today's episode of Focus on the Family.
Getting old's not easy, but I got to tell you, and in marriage is wonderful. I love being married. It's not easy. It's not easy, but it's worth it. Hey, anybody, any newlyweds here tonight? Any newlyweds? Married less than a year. Anybody? Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. You should be proud of that. I love being around newlyweds. They're just, oh, I love you. I love you so much. I love you so much. No, I love you more. I love you more. Just, when you're gone, I can't breathe. It's just like, it's like my heart's gone. It's like he's going to work. He's coming home, all right? Just, it's okay. It's all right. And then you go to the stage. We're in the stage now where it's like we're seeing the differences. And that little 5% that's different can drive you crazy. I'm OCD. My wife's like, you are so OCD. OCD. I mean, I am. My clothes are all in the right order and it's different colors. And I can't go by the sink where there's a dish. Oh, the dish. I got to wash the dish. And there's some good side effects. Ladies, I wash the dishes at my house. Okay? Yeah, I know. Yeah. I vacuum without being asked. Okay. So try to contain yourself because I wash and soften and dry and fold and iron all the laundry at my house. Now I'm fully aware that I am below average looking, but for women over 30, I may have just become one of the sexiest men alive. I did that at a show a couple weeks ago. Women were throwing clothes on the stage. I don't think they were turned on. I don't think they were going, iron this, wash this. Well, if I have OCD, my wife has a condition I have termed GILD, get it later disorder. We'll get it later. I didn't have time. We'll get it later. Later seems to never come. Get it later. It's dangerous. Went to the bathroom one night. She had left her drawer out. Just, oh, man. Oh. Woke up the next day, she goes, what was that noise last night? What was that noise? I said, you left your drawer out. I cut my leg. She goes, oh, I didn't have time. Didn't have time. I'm like, what do you mean you didn't have time? I didn't have time. I was in a hurry. I didn't have time. I said, get your stuff. Okay, get your iPhone. Put it on the stopwatch. Ready? Time this. How long was that? Let's do it again. Ready? How long? And you know those little frustrations? I had a cough one night, walk downstairs, go to get a glass, go to open the cupboard. It was dark. I went to open it. I missed it because it was open. I just said, boom, oh. Wake up the next morning in a pool of blood on my pillow. She said, what happened to you? I said, you left the cupboard door. I didn't have time. I didn't even get to finish. You didn't leave the cupboard. Oh. And it can be so easy to get frustrated with those little pieces, but I don't, because that's 95% of the time. She's incredible. I love the little pieces God has blessed me with. My wife has a condition. 4.0 student, language arts teacher, and yet she will mix up words all the time. And it's just entertaining. We're having a disagreement in the middle of this disagreement. We don't fight really hard anymore. It's just disagreement. She goes, okay, listen. Listen, you say potato, I say tomato. It's the same thing. It's really not. It's not even close. And then there's times I don't even know what she's talking about. She goes, I'm just telling you, that just broke the last straw. Is that good? Is that bad? We're driving. She wanted to throw an idea at me. She goes, no, I don't want you to make a decision. I'm not saying we have to do it. I just want to put a bug in your ear to chew on. She said, what does that look for?
That I don't really eat bugs.
And I can't chew with my ears. And this is one of my favorites of last year. This lady calls her sister, new job. New job calls her, how's your new job? I hate it. Why do you hate your new job? My boss, he's always breathing down my throat. I would hate that job too. And then there's the extremes. Another lady said her dad had a spot on his hand, called her mom, hey, how's dad's spot? She goes, oh, I don't think it's anything, but made him a doctor's appointment next week anyway. I'm going to go have him get an autopsy. Not very optimistic there, are we? But I love that about my wife, and I need my wife. I only love her, I need her, because we have children. I tell you this, my least favorite phrase as a dad, I might have. Last February, it was cold last February. I'm driving my sons to school when I hear out of the back seat, uh-oh. What do you mean, uh-oh?
I might have forgot something.
You might have forgot something. Now I want to just take a little poll here. Someone on this side of the room here, February, driving to school, he might have forgotten what? Coat, very good, very good. Backpack, very good. I thought of those as well. That wasn't it, but those are good guesses. Someone over here, just, I might have forgotten. Who said shoes? Do you know my son? He said, I might have forgot my shoes. I said, well, look on your feet. Do you see shoes on your feet?
No, sir.
At what point do you walk outside? Across a cold concrete floor and not have the thought,
there's nothing on my feet.
Amazing. But I absolutely love him. He's a great student, great little athlete, good kid. And out of nowhere, he'll just come up with something. About a month and a half ago, he's like, Dad, are you going on tour in Florida at any time? I'm like, yeah, I go there a few times. You go to Orlando, can I go? I'm like, sure, man, you can go. I said, why do you want to go to Orlando?
I want to go to SeaWorld.
I'm like, dude, you really didn't like SeaWorld as a kid. He goes, I know. I just want to walk around and see people's reaction. So, what do you mean a reaction? He goes, I'm taking a fishing pole. And there's something about life that don't get distracted by all the stuff out there. What is really important? And those thoughts go through my mind. What's really important? And I learned this through my kids a lot. God shows me this through my children. About a year later, they were in bed one night. My boys shared a room, and we lived downstairs, and their room was upstairs. And in the middle of the night, 3 a.m, I hear, Daddy! 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 Thought he was sick. I run up the stairs. I walk in, he is standing on his bed. Standing on his bed like a superhero. Daddy! Daddy! I said, dude, what are you doing? He went, Daddy! And like he'd been rehearsing this or something. 3 in the morning, he goes, Daddy! I want chocolate milk now, please. I'm like, what? I said, dude, it's night-night time. And he looked at me like, maybe he didn't hear this right. I'm standing up. I should get on my knees. He drops to his knees. Daddy, I want chocolate milk now, please. Like, dude, it's night-night time. I said, you got to go to bed. And he looks at me, and the look on his face is like, what part of this do you not get? I'm saying all the right words. And I lay him down, and he's like, Daddy, I want chocolate milk, please. And I was like, dude, I will get you all the chocolate milk you want in the morning. But right now, it's night-night time. And he put his head on the pillow, and he turned up, and he went, chocolate milk, please. I said, no, buddy, it's night-night time. And he rolled over and went, okay, Daddy. And he went to sleep. And as I walked down the steps, it was one of those moments. Now, God has never spoken to me audibly. Never heard that. But it was between conscious, unconscious, that part of the soul where you're just like, I know this is something more than me. And God just whispered, Ken, that's the way I want you to be. I want you to ask for anything. And just know that I'm only going to give you what's best when it's best. And I was just like, I literally stopped on the stairs that night and just went, oh, wow.
This Focus on the Family broadcast will continue in just a moment.
If you like helping or mentoring engaged couples as they prepare for marriage, then the Ready to Wed Kit from Focus on the Family is for you. Created by Dr. Greg and Aaron Smalley, this 10-session DVD curriculum, along with workbooks and the Ready to Wed book, will start couples on the right path. From in-laws and finances to intimacy and chores, the Ready to Wed Kit prepares couples for the joy and challenges of a lifetime marriage. It's available now at readytowed.com.
Find fun for your kids just a click away.
And now, Adventures in Odyssey.
The Adventures in Odyssey Club, where your 8 to 12-year-old can find trusted, faith-building entertainment in a safe online club. It features almost every episode ever, plus special monthly club-only episodes and content, and a Focus on the Family Clubhouse magazine subscription. Sign up today. Just go to aioclub.org/radio.
Thanks for listening to Focus on the Family. Let's resume now with the balance of today's programming.
And see, not only do I want to recognize those moments, I want to recognize the moments as they're happening. And I need help with that too. And I ask God all the time, God, help me not miss these moments. I'm driving my son to practice last year. I get to coach him. I love coaching basketball. We're driving to pull up to a red light. And my son goes, Dad, pull up. I'm like, whoa. 14 years old. I'm like, man, that's unbelievable. It's a brand new Maserati right next to us. And he goes, Dad, how fast do you think it'll go? I'm like, I don't know. And he says, how much do you think it goes? I'm like, I'm not sure. And then it hit me, Ken, this is a moment. And I said, you know what? I could have one of those. He said, really? And I'm like, yes. And I said, I could have one paid for. And he's like, really? I said, yes. I said, you know why I don't? He said, why? I said, you. I said, you were the reason I don't have one. And he went, oh, man. And I said, no, not oh, man. I said, dude, I wouldn't trade you for 10 Maseratis. You're unbelievable. You're incredible. You can applaud that, yeah. And I saw him well up like, whoa. And I'm like, you're way better than a Maserati. You're better than 10. That car's getting old. You're getting better. We can hang out together. You can feed yourself. You don't poop in your pants anymore. Dude, you're awesome. You are awesome. And I got to tell you, though, I'm stunned he made it. I really am. Because he's got an older brother, 11 months older. And he made it through some tough times. Because my older son, I'll never forget this. My oldest son was probably just about 2. So he was just about 10, 11 months. And you remember those little bouncy seats? those little bouncy, you put the baby in a bouncy seat. Cody was in one of those, and it got really quiet. When you have babies, quiet is not good. I walked around the corner. There's my oldest son straddled over the bouncy seat with a bag of cheese puffs, stuffing them into Cody's mouth. He's got like 10 cheese puffs. Oh, oh. And he'd put one in and go, bum, bum, bum. Poor kid's going, ha, 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 ha. I ran over, I'm like, Graham, Graham, stop. He goes, he like it. Wow. And I don't know if you have children that are close in age, and it's normal, they don't get along all the time. And we have a very simple discipline, like if you can't get along, you sit on the steps. Sit on the steps. A fate worse than death. Sit on the steps. And they would just sit, oh, man, 5 minutes seems like an eternity to like a five-year-old. I was walking down the hall one day, and out of the room where they shared, I hear this major thud. Just, I'm like, that can't be good. So I start walking down the hall to investigate. As right before I get to the doorway, I hear my second son sniffling and my oldest son going, I didn't mean to, man. I didn't mean to, man. He said, we don't want to sit on the steps, man. We don't want to sit on the steps. And I hear Cody. He's like, I know, man. Just give me a minute. Just give me a minute. And the older one to cheer him on, he's like, take the pain, man. Take the pain. Where do you hear that when you're 6 years old? Wow. I'm surprised they survive. I really am. And then I remember we were reading these books when they were born. Read the books. Put them on a schedule. We did that. That worked great. We read it. Said, I'd like to make choices. Let them make choices early and often, and let them find out through failure and learn through failure. Let them make choices. When the earlier they are, make the choices obvious. 4 years old, my oldest son came in. He was exhausted one night. It's time for bed. I'm not tired. I'm not tired. Like, you're tired. And I thought, great part for a choice. I said, now, I said, you have a choice. Would you like to put on your pajamas and brush your teeth and go to bed? Or would you like a spanking? He sat there, he's like, I'm doing pajamas and go to bed. I'm like, that's a great choice. That is the choice I would have made. Good choice. If you have children, you know they're different. 11 months later, my second son, he turns 4, and he's had a night, he's exhausted, he's staggering, he's so tired. I'm like, it's time for bed. I'm not tired, I don't want to stay up, I'm not tired. Like, you're tired, I don't want to go to bed. And I was like, okay, you have a choice. Do you want to brush your teeth, put on your pajamas and go to bed, or do you want a spanking? And he stood there. Like 3 minutes, I'm like, did you hear me? And he goes, after the spanking, can I stay up? Five years later, we have a little girl. How many of you have little girls? Wow, they are different. She hits 4. She's on the verge of tears. She's so quiet. She's tired. So, like, you're tired. You need to go to bed. It's past your bedtime. I don't want to go to bed. I don't want to go to bed. Well, you're tired. You need to go to bed. I don't want to go to bed. Okay. You have a choice. Do you want to put on your pajamas and brush your teeth and go to bed? Or do you want to spank you? She put her finger in my face. No! don't think that's one of the choices. And then there's details, different details. I love this. You get a time where you're feeling bad about yourself, feeling a little down, a little depressed, thinking, I need some entertainment, but I got no money. I tell you what to do. You go to Walmart. Yes. Skip reality TV. You got reality right there. That is a freak show every day right there. I love Walmart. There's always, after midnight, there's always one family with little kids walking around Walmart 2 a.m. And the mom's got her halter top on, just yelling at the kids, why are you so grumpy? What's wrong with you? So grumpy. You better straighten up. Why are you so grumpy? I'm living for the day that one of those little kids just goes, my parents are idiots. I got a mullet and an earring and a tattoo and I'm only 4. There are moments. There are just those moments in life. And I tell you, I love those moments. We were actually, when the boys were small, we took them to Disney World. I don't know if you've ever seen this or not, but the Breakfast with the Characters. Have you seen that? It's where you pay like $40 for cold eggs. And you're sitting there eating and wondering why you paid $40 for cold eggs. And these big furry people walk out. And it's awesome. It's like, oh, they were awesome. Last day we were there, we decided we want a memento, a memory. And we took them to downtown Disney, took them to a souvenir shop. They had this wall, huge wall of stuffed animals. And they're just like, oh, said, you can get one of anything. My oldest son went into Shopper's Trauma. I want this one. Oh, I want this one. I want this one. I want... And like 8 of them going, oh. I watched him freak out. And then I watched Cody. Cody was right down here to my right. I'm watching Graham do spinning drills. And Cody's standing right there. Now, Disney makes most of their stuffed animals gender neutral. They make a few that are masculine in nature. To my knowledge, they only make one that is feminine in nature. And that is Duchess the Cat. My rough and tumble Cody is standing here holding Duchess. I said, what are you doing there, buddy? I want a kitty. I said, you want a kitty? And he goes, Mom, I want a kitty. I'm like, what? You, Tigger. Tigger's a cat. You love Tigger. No, Mom, I want a kitty. The Lion King. You love Lion King. Roar. And he's like, Mom, I want a kitty. Every time I made a suggestion, it got closer and tighter. And he held on for dear life. I'm like, oh, that's your choice. He loved this cat. He kept this cat for years. And he'd never wavered. He loved this cat. I'm like, okay, got the kitty, all right. And I'll never forget, we came home. 2 weeks later, I went to tuck him in to bed. And I always love to pray over my kids when they're little. I always pray and I'd touch the different parts. I would just pray. I'm like, God, give him wisdom beyond their days. And I'd touch their head. Give him a heart of compassion. Give him arms that reach out to others. Give him legs that walk in the truth. But Lord, please, please most of all, Lord, give him joy. And I would just tickle them till they cannot breathe. And when they couldn't handle it anymore, they would go, my joy tank's full. My joy tank's full. And I would go, Lord, thank you for giving them joy. And I walked in. I said, Cody, it's time for bed. And he was kneeling on his bed. And I walked in and he's got his back to the door. I said, buddy, hop into bed. Time for bed. He goes, Daddy, come here. And I walked around. There's Duchess laying on his bed with his little green blanket over her. And he goes, Daddy, what? And he leaned over and he goes, I pray the head and the heart and the legs. Joy, 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 joy. And he said, look, Daddy, I'm the daddy. I said, you can keep the cat. Oh, it's just, oh.
What a memory and what a priceless moment from Ken Kington on today's Focus on the Family.
John, this has been fun today, but Ken made an important point with the last story. Children mimic us. His son Cody was repeating the prayer that he'd heard Ken say every night with them. And I think that's a great reminder for us as parents. Your children are watching. Let them see you being a faithful follower of Jesus Christ. And that's one of the best things you can do for them.
And it might be overwhelming for some, but Ken gave us a really good first step to take, and that is to just pray with your children. Give them that model of how we can approach our Heavenly Father and praise Him and admit when we've done wrong and then ask for what we need.
That's a great point, John. And we'll post some helpful articles about prayer on our website. Come check it out. And let me just say, if you need someone to pray for you, please give us a call. Our staff would be honored to hear your concerns and pray with you. And if your situation warrants it, they can have one of our caring Christian counselors give you a call back. I know times are tough for many families right now. For that reason, we'd like to offer you the DVD of Ken's message with over an hour of content for a donation of any amount. And if you can't make a donation, that's okay. Just let us know and we'll trust others will cover the cost of getting that to you. We want to give your family this blessing of humor. That's the point.
Well, it sure is. And our number here at Focus on the Family is 800, the letter A in the word family, 800-232-6459. You can also donate online and request that Wow Moments DVD by Ken Kington at focusonthefamily.com/broadcast. On behalf of Jim Daly and the entire team, thanks for listening today to Focus on the Family. I'm John Fuller, inviting you back as we once more help you and your family thrive in Christ. You're listening to Focus on the Family's weekend broadcast. We'll take a quick break here and then return with another faith-building program for your family. Stay tuned. Oh, there's nothing like the sounds and the smells of a home-cooked meal. And boy, there have been a lot of those lately, haven't there? This is Focus on the Family with your host, Jim Daly. And today we're going to be sharing a unique cooking method. Once-a-week cooking. It's designed to make meals at home more simple and budget-friendly, especially during this unique season in life. Thanks for joining us. I'm John Fuller.
Hey, John, along with those meals, the multiple meals we're now cooking at home, have you noticed the dishes are piling up?
Oh, golly, yes.
Is your dishwasher going like 24-7?
At least a couple times a day, it seems.
It's crazy, but it seems to be, yeah, we look at the dishes and we're going, man, did we use all those things to live today?
Yeah.
It's nuts. But we want to talk about this. It's going to be in a fun context, obviously, but you know, once a month cooking has been a tremendous hit over the years, probably the last two or three decades. And our guests brought that thinking to our audience many years ago. And we thought it'd be a good time to refresh that content, talk about once a week cooking, because once a month may not be the way to get it done right now when you don't have a lot of wheat or flour or eggs at the same time. And it is great to have them back. And I'm pleased that Gene is able to join us today. I thought this is the perfect program where Gene could come in and ask some questions and probably contribute some ideas too. So Gene, welcome.
Well, thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here and I'm excited to get some recipes.
Well, I know we're going to be getting some great ideas today from Mary Beth Lagerberg and Mimi Wilson, who created this once-a-month cooking method, as Jim said. We do have their book, the Once-a-Month Cooking Book, in stock here at Focus on the Family. It's so helpful. Get your copy at focusonthefamily.com/broadcast.
There's no bigger plug than you need diversity in your meal planning right now. So I think we could just stop now, order the book, because you're going to love it.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us at Focus on the Family.
That's the end of the
program. Now, we're going to get into this because it is important. Mary Beth and Mimi, welcome back to Focus. Good to have you.
Thank you.
And of course, Gene, welcome again. During this pandemic time, what do you think about this need for a little bit of diversity in your meal planning? What are you seeing when you're kind of sheltered in place? People are getting a little desperate, right? Can we have chicken again?
It's true. Well, yeah, we all have to eat, and we have to eat at home. I mean,
yeah, it's been kind of fun.
The
actually.
Pressure's on for the need for variety.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so going to the once a week thing. If you have some tricks in your freezer, that's helpful because you have to think of something every day.
Now, some husbands might say tricks in your freezer doesn't sound very appetizing. That sounds a little scary. But what are you getting at when there's stuff in the freezer?
Well, when there's stuff in the freezer that you've been intentional about, that you've prepared ahead, then you really can use more variety because you're not falling back on pizza and tacos and mac and cheese and the things that typically are your go-tos.
And John said at the beginning, you two are well known for that once a month cooking. Let's get into some of that, Mary Beth, the practical nature of it. I can imagine, and you know, those chores now are divided much more than they used to be in the last generation. So guys too lean into what can I cook for dinner? I get that, everybody. And if you're helping out in the kitchen, that's great. But for either that woman who's trying to think at 9 o'clock in the morning, what can I do? Sometimes that's just perplexing. And it used to be, I'm sure, well, let's just eat out tonight. Let's call up somebody. Let's pick something up. Mm-hmm. Why is that a bad idea all the time? I can think of the pocketbook being one good reason.
Yeah, the pocketbook is a big reason, and a big reason for a lot of people right now, because it just does cost more to eat the same food that you've ordered from somewhere as that you bought in a grocery store. I think we're going to look back and find this having been an interesting time in realizing our budget and what we can live on if we're only paying for what we have to. We're not going out and shopping and, you know, entertainment and all that. But down to the basics and getting the food budget down to the basics, I think it'd be interesting.
Right. And I would think you probably did some analysis, even on the back of an envelope. When someone goes out to dinner, you know, for a family of four, that could be $50, $60, $70 if you're picking it up at a restaurant.
Well, it can be. Back when we did research this, it was about 60% more.
60%
more. To eat the same meal or a comparable meal out.
But in that context, what you're paying for is the ease of just picking it up and eating it, right?
That's true. And the variety.
That's very appealing.
Yes.
And the taste, probably. It probably tastes pretty good. Restaurants are probably a little better at making that taste good. Don't ask how much salt was used.
Yes.
So in the shelter-in-place environment, and you guys are now promoting a once-a-week cooking methodology, how do you go about doing that? What are the mechanics of once-a-week cooking?
Organization.
That's a fearful word, organization.
To be organized enough to go to the store once a week and come back and put it together.
Take your list, go once a week, buy the stuff, and probably cook the next day rather than the same day. I mean, you can do it. You can come home and do it. It's kind of an energy thing, though.
Yeah.
You might want to do it the next day, and it might take you the whole morning and maybe 4 hours, maybe 3 hours if you have a spouse or a child or someone helping you. I mean, that's the ultimate. That's really great.
Do you have to pay them to help you?
Well, whatever it takes, you know.
Whatever it takes, I like that. Yeah. Hey, $5 to do the shopping with me. I love that.
Yeah.
Let me ask this question kind of through Jean to get her validation of this. Does this make that even more intimidating, that somehow I'm going to get organized enough to go shopping for once a week and put all those meals together in a day? That sounds like it could become a bit of a mountain for someone who isn't that organized.
Well, yes, absolutely. And that's why we need to hear from you, Mary Beth and Mimi, as to how you get organized. How do you make that shopping list? How do you even do that for the week?
You take the list that's provided. I think Focus is going to provide a one-week cycle, as I understand it.
Well, thanks to you. We're going to put that on the website, I think, John.
We've got the PDF. Yep.
Yep.
But the beauty of it is that it takes you step by step. You don't have to yourself be a very organized person or a confident cook. You just follow the directions. Here's your list. Here's a list of things that you need to have on hand in your pantry. You know, salt, flour, whatever. Make sure you have these things. If you don't, add them to your grocery list, go get the list, and then it takes you step by step through the recipes so that you're doing similar processes at once. You're going to cook all the chicken you have to cook at once, the ground beef you'll brown at once, that sort of thing. So it really is a take you by the hand and step by step.
Let me touch on something else before we kind of get into more of the nuts and bolts of doing this. This financial strain. I mean, we have something like 30 million people or over 30 million mm-hmm. people now on unemployment. Over the decades that you have been doing this in the once a month cooking context, how do you address that special situation where money's super tight? Is there anything you need to know about that shopping list that you need to do a little differently, or the way you prepare meals a little differently when money's tight?
We were talking about this cycle, looking at it and thinking it does use cuts of meat that perhaps people might find a little difficult, and you might need to look at it and make some adaptations, you know, the cuts of beef and that sort of thing with the price of meat going up.
Right.
And you might want to modify that a little bit. Personally, having raised three little boys, I would go to the grocery store alone when I really needed to economize, because kids see things they want. And you have the struggle of, do I need to say, no, how do I explain, right, we can't afford this or whatever? But if you're really trying to economize, I think it helps to take a well-prepared list and go by yourself.
Mary Beth and Mimi, I feel like I am cycling through the same recipes over and over. How can we add variety to our meals at home?
Oh, that's a good question.
I like that question.
Yeah. You know, we always have kept an eye on the ingredients, that they're not too expensive. And we will not use an ingredient if that's the only time you're going to use that particular spice. And I always say, I have a lady in mind. She's a single mom in Nevada. I don't have any idea who she is, but I always write recipes for her.
Oh. That's great.
So I will make sure that they're affordable, that they're kid-friendly, and that it doesn't take a long time to put together. And someday I'd like to meet this unbelievable lady.
That's wonderful.
I think it helps if you're, let's say that you're planning a grocery store list for once a week. And if you look at it with the intention of using a main ingredient that you might have leftovers from in a different way another day. For example, if you're, let's say you're having ham and sweet potatoes one evening.
Okay.
If you plan to have split pea soup another evening, you know, you use maybe the ham bone or some little pieces of ham you have left over in the split peas, which are going to be inexpensive. But if you look at each day a couple of ways, each protein, each main ingredient, the use a couple of different ways and plan for that, you're going to end up with more variety.
Okay, so you get two or three or four meals out of the same core thing.
Right.
I like that. That's good.
Right.
Hey, another challenge I think a lot of, and again, I don't mean to stereotype, but a lot of women are going to face, and I get it, and a lot of men are helping out in the mm-hmm. kitchen, and that's great. I get that. I know that. I try to. I don't know that I do a good job. Let's not ask that question. But certainly this is universal, that feeling of being unappreciated by their spouse and their kids. I mean, whoever is that main cook, assuming, let's say it's mom, because most of the time it's going to be mom. How do you manage just that underappreciated? I mean, I always think of Gene when we do Thanksgiving at our house, you know, have 12 people over, something like that. And she takes all day. I mean, we usually have that meal at about 2 in the afternoon. She's been working it. I might have watched one, maybe two football games already. And she said, you know, can you do this? Yeah, just a minute. I got to watch this last play. I can only imagine what you're thinking. Are you serious? And then we sit down to this meal, and it's grand. It's beautiful. And we say a great prayer and thank the Lord for this. And then all you hear is, and like 10 minutes later, we all look up and go, man, what kind of pie are we going to have? What does that feel like?
Well, no, I do. I mean, really, I feel like the Lord taught me something through Thanksgiving, because I was spending all this time making a grand dinner, and it was for, we always host Jim's family. The children were young. Jim was out playing football in the morning, And I was taking care of the young children and preparing the meal. And I was resenting that. Mm-hmm. And I was not enjoying myself. Mm-hmm. And I was so worried about everything being hot and served warm at the same time. And I was homemaking rolls and doing... And you know what? I realized, and really the Lord taught me a lesson through this, because I was angry one Thanksgiving, and I felt the Lord saying to me that the people mm-hmm. are what are important. And yes, good food is nice, but if you're serving it with an angry heart, then the food isn't going to taste good. And mm-hmm. I realized... I didn't have to make those rolls. I could go to the grocery store and buy really yummy rolls. And I pared down just the basics mm-hmm. for Thanksgiving and began to enjoy the process and enjoy the day and enjoy what I did make. And the Lord really, really taught me how to enjoy the people.
We have our sons are now grown and all live close by with their families. They come over on Sunday night for dinner. And I observe, they like to, it's kind of like you cook it and they'll come kind of thing.
Yes.
But I can sense the appreciation from them. I mean, you know, you can go through a lot of times where you feel like you've put out and it's not appreciated. But you also know when you see that they'll come and that they'll like to be there. You have your times, your glimpses, I think.
Right.
When you realize this day-to-day-to-day-to-dayness is significant over
yes.
time.
Yes.
And it is appreciated over time. Although you might have a meal like, you know, we're familiar with the one like the Thanksgiving you're talking about.
This Focus on the Family broadcast will continue in just a moment.
What's the best thing you could leave behind?
I don't know. Habits, maybe.
I'd like to leave behind broccoli.
One of the best things you could leave behind is a legacy. Focus on the Family invites you to leave a legacy gift in your estate plan. It can reduce the burden of taxes on your family, and it will make a better legacy for families around the world. To find out more or to notify us of a legacy gift, just visit FocusPlannedGiving.com. That's FocusPlannedGiving.com.
I was convinced that nothing could change what was going on in our marriage, and I didn't want to try anymore. But my commitment to God helped me try one more time.
We went to a Hope Restored Marriage Intensive, and it was life-changing. The counselors created the safest environment we could imagine, so that let us really talk. We're on a much different course now, and I believe we received a miracle that week.
Receive your free consultation at HopeRestored.com.
Thanks for listening to Focus on the Family. Let's resume now with the balance of today's programming.
Mimi, you have a story about wanting to leave a heritage of gratefulness in your family. What is it?
Let me tell you, I had a similar aha story. Cal came home. He was in medical school. He came home and he said, "Let's go to get pizza." And I said, "Where are you going to go to get pizza?" And he said, "A place that was close." And I said, "But there... crusts are too thin." And I could see all my kids, they were all excited, and then they wouldn't have noticed the crust if I hadn't pointed it out. And that so impacted me, because the kids all had like a damper on their enthusiasm.
Oh, interesting.
And I had trained them how to fuss sophisticatedly.
Oh, wow.
Because they would never have picked up the crust idea. That so taught me. I thought, Lord, I want to be the kind of mom that shows them the good of our God, the graciousness of God. And it's one at a time. What comes out of our mouth forms the kids' thinking. And they fussed about the crust because I had taught them sophisticatedly how to do that. And I thought, I must change my way of thinking and look for the goodness of God in everything. And so that changed it right there.
Mm. Well, and I really experienced that during this pandemic. And because I put what you are teaching in practice.
Yes.
Because I had to only go to the grocery store every 7 to 10 days, I felt I had to be organized. So I made a plan for all the meals. I wrote down the ingredients I had, and I knew I needed to use the hamburger that was in the refrigerator and not frozen. You know, I knew I needed to use that within a few days. And it really revolutionized my cooking. I think our oldest son had moved back in with us during the COVID pandemic. And I felt like I was really providing a service for my family. And because it was more organized, I enjoyed it.
You know, since most sit-down restaurants are still closed, what are some ways to make meals at home with your immediate family a little more like a special outing?
I love that part.
How do you do that?
Well, I always have a centerpiece. I always have something on the table to talk about. Huh. And it can be Legos. It can be the latest project, art project. But there's always something on the table to focus.
That's interesting, right? So how does that go? You put a Lego. Do you make it, or is this
no,
something
this
you get
something
from the kids?
No, this is something they've made.
Okay, yeah. Something the kids have made.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
And then I put under the dining room plate a question, and we call it table talk. Uh-huh. And what we say in our family is everybody has a treasure inside of them. We just have to ask the right questions to figure out what it is.
That's good.
Oh, that's beautiful.
What would give us an example of what that note card would look like under the plate?
Well, it really depends on the guests. We have a lot of internationals, and so it depends on, tell us about your first grade teacher. Well, they are so excited to tell you because no one's ever asked.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Well, my first grade teacher is Mrs. Crabapple, and I think her last name says it all. She was the most difficult teacher I ever experienced. But anyway, but that's a beautiful way to do it. How about just between you and the kids and your husband when it was just you?
I have it.
What would be a question that you
would
have?
Well, one of them would be, what is the coziest room in our house?
Oh, wow.
Oh, that's a great question.
Or what is your most unfavorite chore?
That question's a little intimidating.
Good.
Yeah.
What's your least liked chore? Yeah.
What is your favorite childhood book?
Yeah.
But it is the funnest thing to watch the kids come unglued when they're young, and they get asked a question. They sit up with their little bodies, and they try to answer it, and it is the cutest thing. So they may not even answer it right, but the fact that they're trying is the issue.
You know, there's research that's shown that children who are used to table conversation are more at ease and do better expressing their opinions in a classroom setting or in a group of people or with adults. It's just a very good exercise. Not only do you learn things about your own kids and your own grandkids, but it's a good exercise for them to know, oh, I have something important to say, and I'm going to express it here. And we've talked, and we always have the rule, you don't cut down someone else's answer. I mean, there's no right or wrong answer to these things.
Right.
They can say whatever they think, whatever their least favorite chore is, they can say that, and it's okay.
As long as it's not raking the pine needles. That can't be your least favorite chore, because I need that done like right now.
No, that's really good advice.
It is. And this is in addition to the wonderful idea of once a month, once a week cooking, which you guys have put together. Let's end in this place, because I think it's a beautiful expression of Christian love. And that is, when you're organized in this way, even if you're not that organized person, this system helps you get organized. That's what you were talking about, Gene. You know the ingredients, you know what you need to get. You prepare it once a week. And one of the benefits that I noted in your book was being able to quickly give a meal to someone who needs one. And again, yes, thinking of this pandemic crisis that we're in, as we begin to be able to drop a meal over at someone's house who may be struggling a bit more, speak to that gift of being able to give the gift of a meal in a way that it's not too much of a burden for you, because it's already done.
That is so true. And you learn to love those times when you are being called to give in that manner. But what we have found is that when you do prepare ahead, I like to prepare food that I'm going to give away. I put it in a certain part of my freezer, and I make sure that it smells good while it's cooking. Huh. Because the smell of a food cooking is very therapeutic.
Interesting.
And so I want to make sure that the meal I'm giving is going to be therapeutic for them.
What
and
a
their
detail.
House will,
oh, that's
their,
so thoughtful.
Their house will smell good.
So what, I'm just curious, what do you think is your number one smell good therapeutic meal?
It's chicken, one can of cranberry, and one package of onion soup.
Wow.
That's it.
I can do that.
You can do that tonight.
That'll bring the aroma.
It's so I won't cook that ahead for anybody. I want them to have the benefit of the smell of their in their house.
Yeah, fantastic.
And I will suggest it to them. I said, don't start the cooking until everybody's home, because you don't want it to be done and the smell gone. It's a freebie that our God gave us.
Yeah. Let's end here. You know, we've had some fun talking about this. It's in a serious context with the pandemic and all that, but how to kind of summarize this, you know, get the ingredients that you need to get, try to plan ahead, set one day aside a week to cook these meals, make sure you have the containers to throw them in your freezer, et cetera. Makes the rest of the week really easy. Mm-hmm. You know by 9 o'clock in the morning what you're going to cook that night. That makes the day a little nicer for you. I want to give you each a shot just to say, okay, I'm still that unorganized person. I've heard what you've said, but it's kind of like weight loss. I know what I should do, but I struggle doing it because those potato chips are so good. Give me your last shot at why this is the best way to do this. Mary Beth.
I think it releases a lot of anxiety. I think that if you are that person who's not a real confident cook, you do have a lot of anxiety. If you have a family at home and they have to eat every day, your stress level has got to be really high. And this is something that would relieve some of that. Take baby steps. You know, maybe do 2-day cooking or 4-day yeah. cooking or whatever. Take a part of that and just try it. I'd say take baby steps and try it for your own sake.
Yeah, that's good. Release
some stress.
It'll make you feel better. Yeah. And that probably turns into great behavior, better, happier person, right?
Right.
Mimi?
I would say that you will start seeing the benefit financially of having it done ahead, because there's not impulse buying. You have it all figured out. So if by cooking the method, you save.
Think of that. I mean, those are two great attributes. Mm-hmm. You relieve stress in your life and you save more money. I mean, that should be motivating to everyone.
Yeah,
Mimi and Mary Beth, thank you so much for being with us. This has been great to reconnect.
Thank you.
And I just love your spirit, your joy. And thank you, Gene, for being with us. I really
pleasure,
appreciate that.
And I did just get some recipes.
Yeah, what's for dinner tonight? I'm just curious. Don't answer that.
One of their meals.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. But listen, thank you again. And to the listeners, go to our website and download the free once-a-week cooking meal plans. Thanks to these women. They have been willing to do that, and that's very gracious of you. Thank you for providing that. And I highly recommend you get a copy of Mimi and Mary Beth's wonderful book, Once a Month Cooking, Family Favorites, and we'll have that available as well. Right, John?
We will, Jim. And let me just say about this once-a-week cooking menu. It's got everything. It tells you the whole week's worth of meals. It gives you the various things you need to buy in terms of how many, you know, canned beans and how much grain and pasta and rice, dairy, produce, all the different things. So it really will be very helpful. That's free. That's online. And then that book, Once a Month Cooking, when we kind of come out of this season, you can probably do a little more batch cooking, a little easier. And so get this book and adapt it, and then get the once a week menu, all of that, at focusonthefamily.com/broadcast, or call us. We'd be happy to tell you more. 800, the letter A and the word family. And Focus on the Family is a listener-supported ministry. If you can help us help others by making a contribution today to the ministry, we'll say thanks by sending a thank you copy of this book, Once a Month Cooking. Make that monthly pledge or one-time gift when you call 1-800, the letter A and the word family, or at our website. On behalf of Jim Daly and the entire team, thanks for listening to Focus on the Family. I'm John Fuller, inviting you back as we once more help you and your family thrive in Christ.